Thank you, guys. You know, there really is. There's a war inside for every Christian, every one of us. I don't care if you've known the Lord for a day or for 50 years. The battle for growth is in every Christian. And it's a battle that a lot of Christians are losing because they don't understand the process of how to develop and grow spiritually. It's not a mystery. Yet if you don't define it, then people don't know how, they don't even know if they've achieved it. How do you know that you're a mature, a growing believer? How do you know that? How can you mark that in your life? Well, the first thing you have to do to mature, the first thing you have to do to be able to grow naturally is what? This is really brilliant. Be born. You cannot grow unless an individual is born. So that's just common sense. Well, it is common sense, but it's also true spiritually. A lot of people try to grow spiritually never having been born in the kingdom of God. Let me explain it. A lot of times people will take their religious efforts and replace those without having been born again of the Spirit of God, without having given their life to Christ. You'll meet a lot of people that today will say things like this: I'm spiritual, but I'm not or I'm a Christian, but I'm not one of those born again kind. There ain't no other kind. Because what they're saying is that I have my own way. I go to church and I am of such and such denomination, or they could pick this church. No church can make you right with God. All the religious efforts and church membership and water baptism and confirmation and whatever you want to call, whatever you call. If it is not starting with a new birth, what do I mean a new birth? See, understand that you are a spirit being. You possess a soul and you live in a body. This body you and I live in is an earth suit. It is declining to its end, the Bible said. Now, some of you, your bodies are still on that upswing, maturing to its peak. And then there comes a point to where you reach the peak and things begin to change. For example, if you take the hand of a child and you pull their skin up, it disappears quickly. And when you pull mine up, it will stay there for the rest of the service. The outward man is changing. Spiritual growth, a spiritually mature Christian, is easily defined. It's when the inside man, the inward man, has gained the ascendancy over the outer man of the flesh, of the carnal reasonings or the natural reasonings of men and the culture. To the degree that God's word, God's plan is emanating from your inward man, where you're making decisions because of the real you, the part of you that is born again. You see, every one of us, without Christ, the Bible said we are dead in our sins. What does he mean? He's talking about your spirit is separated from God. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you didn't just get kind of forgiven and became a servant. You were not forgiven. Now, your sins were dealt with, but it wasn't a matter of forgiveness. It was a matter of a new creation. You were dead in your sin and trespass, and now you made Christ the Lord of your life, and you became born again by the Spirit of God. Your inward man became a new creation being, filled with the life and the nature of God. You are a partaker of divine nature in the inward man, 1 Peter said. You have partaken of divine nature. You are not a servant of God that's trying to become a child of God. You are a child of God who serves. You're not a servant. You're a son and a daughter. There's a big difference between an employee and a child. A lot of people have employees, and they'll be good to their employees. But let me tell you something. Find out how they treat their kids. They don't send their employees to college. They send their kids to college. They don't feed their employees. They feed their kids. The fact of it is, you are a son and daughter of the living God. So before you can grow spiritually, you have to have a birth. You have to be born again. Listen to what James 1:18 said. In His goodness, God's goodness, He chose to make us His own children, giving birth to us by His true word. And we, out of all creation, became His choice possession. You see, by God's own will, He gave birth to you. Now, how do you define spiritual development? Now, naturally speaking, and we're going to take 4 weeks in this series, this week plus 3 more, and show you how the Bible parallels spiritual and natural growth. But it's really important to grasp this simple fact, is that we can look at a physical body and we know the growth rate of a physical body. A baby's born, then they become a child, then a teenager, then a 20-something, then 30, 40, 50, and then, you know, things change the other way a little bit, huh? We know, you can look at somebody and generally, within reason, guess their age. Now, how can you look at yourself spiritually and discern where you're at in that process? Spiritual growth, like natural growth, to the participant, is sometimes indiscernible. If you go up to somebody you haven't seen in a kid you haven't seen maybe in a year, well, you walk up to that child and they've become a different person. I've watched kids come through this church and they'll come through on a certain weekend, and because of the size of our church, I haven't seen them where I could actually say hello to them, and they'll come through and I don't know who they are. They went from being a little kid to like this like mini man or mini woman. And I'm like, well, who's that? And I look and I go, that's that little kid in there. But if you go to that child and say, man, you've grown, they go, I have. It's indiscernible. Spiritual growth is like that to the participant. But let me tell you, to those around you, it's discernible. And by the way, so is the lack of it. It really is. Now, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he was very displeased with their spiritual immaturity. And he gave them the understanding that he really expected them to be mature at this point in their walk with God. And what's important about that is to distinguish this. From when Paul was with them to when he wrote the letter expressing his displeasure was about 4 to 7 years. Which tells us this. You can become a fully developed, mature believer in 4 to 7 years. That's the Bible expectation. See, sometimes people think this is like you have to do this for 150 years. 4 to 7 years. And you can be a person who is learning to be governed by your inward man. All of us have external things that want to drive our actions, our behaviors, our thought life, what we pursue, what we say, how we think, how we act, how we talk. Spiritual growth, when it becomes more relevant or prevalent in our life, we're governed by the inward man. And it's really important to know the difference and to understand this, that means even teenagers can be spiritually developed. 20-somethings could be spiritually developed. You don't have to wait to be, 40, 50 years old to be spiritually developed. You could be in your 20s. Can I tell you, some of the finest Christians I know on the planet go to this church and are in their 20s. They're incredible young people. People tell the future is dark. Let me tell you something. You get around the 20-somethings in this church, let me tell you, in the 30-somethings, the future is bright. Because they're spiritually developed, even though they're young. They have wisdom beyond their years because the wisdom of God, you don't have to wait to get gray hair or no hair to get it. And getting old doesn't make you wise. If that were true, every old person would walk with God. Because that's just wisdom. So wisdom, getting old doesn't make you wise. It just lets you know where you smashed your finger with the hammer, not to swing the hammer that close again. So we're going to look at just 6 things today real quickly to help you define what a spiritually growing or mature person looks like. And I want you to understand this. You can do this. Doesn't matter what's behind you. Doesn't matter who failed you or how you failed. Doesn't matter if you were abandoned as a child. It doesn't, and no, I'm not saying that's not important. It doesn't matter if you were even abused. You can grow spiritually, which means no matter what you faced in your life, you can come to a point to where the inward man will dominate the outer experiences of your life. 4 to 7 years is the expectation that the Bible gives that you can be fully developed in that regard. That's incredible. How many of you think it's hopeful to know that I'm 4 years away from letting this inward man, if I go after God the way the Scripture says, where I can truly be an overcomer and not just talk about it? That's what the Scripture talks about. Now let's talk about what a spiritually growing person looks like. The first thing is this. They will develop a desire for spiritual food. First Peter 2:2, Peter wrote, as newborn babes, he's referring to Christians being born again, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. He said, as a believer, you've got to have a desire for God's Word. Now, I've learned this about natural food. Now, how many of you have let me ask you a question, how many of you are planning on lunch? How many of you know what you're planning, where you're going to go for lunch? Raise your hand. How about this? How many of you know what you're going to order? How many of you know when you get home what you plan to eat? Right now, how many of you have I lost because I talked about food? All right, let me ruin it completely. Chocolate. You can cultivate a desire for food. If a person if a baby, for example, has no hunger, that's a terrible medical condition. They're going to want to find out, why isn't that child hungry? Because hunger is important. Because if the baby's not hungry, the baby won't eat. And if the baby doesn't eat, we'll be malnourished. Is naturally speaking, we feed ourselves at least 3 meals a day, and usually sometimes more. And yet spiritually, sometimes we'll give ourselves one cold snack a week. If you fed yourself spiritually like you did physically, you'd have an abundant growth spurt. The Bible said you grow thereby. There is inherent power in putting the Word in you, and the Word will cause you to grow. But if you, let's say it this way, if we ate physically like we do spiritually, we'd all, number one, be skinny. We could be. And not just skinny, malnourished. And when you're malnourished, you lose strength, you lose capacity, you lose drive. You say, I don't have a spiritual drive. Are you eating? Somebody said, I'm just weak all the time. And you said, well, do you eat? They said, well, no. So, well, do you eat breakfast? No. How about lunch? No. What do you eat at lunch? Popcorn. Okay, what about dinner? Oh, no, carrots. And so how many calories are you consuming a day? Oh, 12. But I feel so weak. You would say, my grandmother would say, oh, what's the matter you? Let me feed you. What's the matter you? You need to eat. She'd make you a huge plate, you'd eat it. She'd go, you want some water? You'd say, no, I'm full. And she'd go, oh, you're not liking my food. Just a little bit of more, a little bit of more. Okay, Grandma, I have a little bit more. And she'd bring you another plate like this, and you go, oh. My friends would eat there, and they'd look like they couldn't eat it. And my grandmother was hard of hearing, and I'd say, that's it. Make the old woman miserable. Don't eat her food, you pig, you know. So the guy came very briefly trying to eat, and I go, yeah, she'll cry. You're going to make her cry. If we don't learn to feed ourselves spiritually, we will not grow spiritually. Practically speaking, that means put the Word in yourself every day. Gosh, with phones now and the Bible on my phone, I mean, anytime, just you could pull up and just read something. You could have a CD player, an MP3, an iPod, an iPad, a Q-pad, or whatever. How many of you bathe? If you don't bathe, don't raise your hand. Okay, we're all right. If you go to the restroom in your home, where you bathe, and you have a device that you can hit play, I promise you, it takes you time at least to take a shower, a bath, and get ready. Let's just say on a short day, it's 15 minutes. And, you know, depending on your gender, it can be longer. What if every time you went into the bathroom to get ready, you hit play and had somebody ministering the Word of God, and you can go online now and download everything. You can go on Keith Moore's website, morelifeministries.com, and you can download more. You'll die before you can listen to it all. And every time you go into the room, hit play. And when you go in your car, you know, how many of you have a device called a radio, a CD player? Some of the, you know, cars now, of course, you can plug your iPhones or your iPads or whatever into them. You can in your car, instead of wasting all that time being angry in traffic or listening to some silly guy on the radio or some music, whatever, put the Word in you. If you'll make a habit of it, just by that alone, you will receive spiritual strength and you will grow thereby. Once a year, we do a seminar or an extended meeting, and we call it impartation. It's June, I believe, 16th through the 20th, and this year. And 3 speakers are coming in, and the weekend speaker is Dwayne Sheriff. The Monday through Wednesday night speaker is Keith Moore. And the Monday through Wednesday morning speaker is Ed Elliott. All of these ministries are, I'm telling you, these are some of the best ministries that I know of anywhere. And when we started the church 19 years ago, Michelle and I had a desire in our heart. We said, Lord, we are tired of having to get on a plane or drive a car to go to a meeting where nationally recognized speakers, people who have developed their ministry at a national level, would come, and we got to go get a hotel and the expense. So we're tired of doing that. I said, Lord, help us to build a church so we can have the meetings here. And people can fly to these meetings. And you know, in June, there will be people flying here to come to these meetings, driving here from other states, because these are nationally recognized ministries, and they are coming here with a message in their heart that is incredible. But you know what? It doesn't matter how well you cook. If someone isn't willing to eat, it does you no value. Now, we don't promote this to the community. This is a church event. Other churches are invited, but I do this primarily just for our church. It's a time of impartation where you can set aside 4 days of your life and get it and say, oh, I don't know if I can make it. Pretend it's something as important as, band practice. Cheerleading practice. A dinner date with somebody. We can all look at our calendars and things that we schedule. Schedule times where you set yourself aside, where you have three people coming in here who have done all the cooking, you just get to sit there and eat. Now, the decision, now I realize you may not practically be able to make the morning and evening meetings and all of them, but do your best to give yourself the opportunity. You know, if you were here last Wednesday night of impartation, you missed somebody giving a $1 million offering to our church. And that was one of my favorite services. And can I tell you this? That was not the best service we've ever had from Keith Moore here. It wasn't even close. There are other services where God, I'm telling you, things poured out of him and it changed the hearts of people because of the Word of God coming out of that ministry. So I really want to encourage you, if you're serious about growing spiritually, and you should be, and that's what Paul was saying, you should be, get the Word in you. Second and third things are this. This is what you'll find in a spiritually growing person. Here's what it looks like. One is they aren't easily deceived, and they learn to keep the main thing the main thing. Then also they speak the Word of God in their everyday life. Let me read Ephesians 4, verse 14. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he said that we should no longer be children. Now he's no longer talking about babies in Christ. He said, you should no longer even be children. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. He's talking about spiritual growth, moving past babyhood, moving past childhood. And he's talking about spiritually mature people do one thing they do is they say the Word of God with their mouth. What's that mean? Walk around quoting Bible verses, go up to people and they say, hello, how are you? And you go, hello, how are you? John 3:16, God so loved the world that he... That's odd. Now, it's fine to quote the Bible in your prayer time and with people who understand, but don't meet somebody and say, hello, how are you? Well, praise God, hallelujah, good, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, glory to God, John 3:16, my God so loved the world. They'll be looking at you like, okay, I have enough problems without that. But I don't mean just quoting Bible verses, which is important in your private, in your devotional life, and in your walk with God. But I mean that you talk about the issues of life, and you make sure that your inward man agrees to the extent with what God says, that you put a garrison on your tongue, and you don't say what everyone says about that subject. Case in point. You know the swine flu, the Asian flu, the Italian flu is going around, whatever flu. And you'll hear people say things like this, oh, I'll tell you what, every time it comes right, it runs through our house, everybody gets it. Every year, we just prepare. Well, a person who's governed by the inward man isn't governed by circumstances, isn't governed by experiences, begins to say this in their heart. One, they don't talk like everybody else about it. You don't tell anybody, you don't even have to say anything. You just don't agree with that stuff. Inside your heart, you're saying, no. Psalm 91 says, and no plague will come nigh my dwelling. Lord, I thank you that you protect my home. And I thank you that anything that comes against us, that we're overcomers. Well, you hear people talk about the price of stuff. Seen the price of food? Oh, the price of food. The price of food. Oh, price of food. Price of gas. Price of gas. Oh, seen the price of gas. Seen the price of food that gives you gas. Price of food. Price of price. Price of price. And they'll talk about, oh, it's just so hard. Oh, it's so hard, so hard. Money, money. Wish I had as much checkbook as I had a month. And badmouth their finances over and over again. And yet, you can have the same needs as other people, but you don't let the circumstances govern what you say. You, in your heart, they don't ever hear you talk that way. You don't beat them over the head with Bible verses, but you don't talk that way. Yeah, these things sure have gotten expensive. But I'm so, but you know what? I'm just thankful that God's for me. I said, He is? What do you mean He's for you? Oh, He loves me. My father, man, he has the cattle on 1,000 hills and the gold on 1,000 hills. He's my dad and He leads me and guides me. And I'm excited. He said, but aren't you having struggles? Oh, we all have struggles, but I've got a God who leads me and guides me. And so I trust Him. Yeah, but who do you think you are? Oh, I may not be able to say this to you because you think I'm crazy, but let me tell you, I'm a child of God. I belong to Him. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and overcome by the word of God and the blood of the Lamb and the word of God in my testimony. See, a spiritually mature person will begin to talk about themselves the way God sees them. They don't badmouth their spouse. They don't talk about marriage in a derogatory way like people can do when they get away from their spouse. Men will get around just badmouth marriage. Some young kids engaged, they'll come above a bunch of married men and they'll say, oh, Joey here's engaged. And, oh, you idiot. What's wrong with you, boy? Why in the Lord in this day and age you want to buy the cow when you can get the milk? Maybe, ladies, you don't know men talk that way. Men, I guess you don't know how women talk about you either. Some young girl saying, oh, he's so cute. Hey, you're going to grow up and be fat and ugly. I promise you. I just can't wait to see him. Yeah, you can't wait to see him. I'll tell you that's for sure. I can't wait to not see him, you know. You don't talk that way, even when your experiences are such. A spiritually maturing person lets their words agree with God's. You know, a spiritually mature person isn't easily deceived. In fact, he said that. He said they're not tossed to and fro by everything. They know how to keep the main thing the main thing. One of the main characteristics of children is they're easily deceived. I used to have so much fun with my kids. When they were little, I told them I was a spy. It was a blast. And I'd make up stuff. And on my right leg, I have scars on my leg. And they're these perfect circles. And they look like bullet holes. So I showed them these and I said, yeah, that's where I was shot when I was in, and they're, Finally, our littlest one, Alexa, she took it a little bit more deeply than the older two. When I would tell the story, she'd go, stop, start crying. So I said, when y'all go to bed, helicopter comes and gets daddy and I go. And I fight wars and then they're like, One time, Sienna, our second child, Michelle had brought her to the emergency room. She had some reaction to something. It was nothing serious, but mom wanted to make sure it was okay. And so I found out and I'm meeting her there and I have Ryan in the car with me. Oh, he couldn't have been more than, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 or 10. I don't even remember. He was just a little boy. And we're on the way and I used to always mess with him. I'd get my phone and I'd pretend I was talking to everyone from the president to whoever, giving codes, and his eyes would be getting big. And I said, now listen, I'm on the way to the emergency room. I think everything's fine, but I want that helicopter there. And I'm just hoping it's on the pad, you know, over here at Cranberry. And I'm thinking, I said, now I expect it there. You understand me. And his eyes, you know, just listening. And we pull in Ryan's in the service to tell you, I'm telling you the truth. The helicopter lands as we pull in. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Oh, and then I wave over at the guy, like I'm talking to him, thanks, and I'll back, blah, 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 blah. And the guy waves back, and we go in, and Sienna's fine, we leave, the guy's still on the helipad, and I look over to him, just thinking, you know, I wave at him, and I say, all right, you can take off now. He took off. My son is in this room, he is 19 years old, brilliant kid, academic scholarship, he still thinks I'm a spy to this day. But you know, it got to a point where they didn't buy it anymore. So now my brother, Mark's little boy, Giovanni, oh, is he cute? He thinks I'm a spy. It's fun. But children are easily deceived. Now that's fun with kids, but it's not good when you're spiritually deceived. And you don't know how, you don't know how to discern between what you should be feeding on and what you shouldn't. You keep the main thing the main thing. It's one of the signs of a spiritually developed person. They're discerning without being judgmental. The fourth and fifth things are this. A spiritually growing person will teach and care for other people. And they can discern between good and evil in their everyday life. You know, we live in a culture where good and evil have been flipped. Where literally things the Bible calls evil are purported not only to be good, but that if you don't embrace them, you're a bigot. We live in a world that is absolutely upside down. Let's step back to the spiritually growing person. Being discerning without being judgmental. Because every one of those people that hold those views, though I disagree with those views, Jesus died for those people. And if He can turn my worthless life around, He can turn theirs around too. He can rescue me, He can rescue them. He can save me, He can save them. So I make no judgment on them. But the Word of God said a growing person will actually know between good and evil. They'll discern it in everyday life. Listen to what the Scripture said in Hebrews 5, verse 11. He wrote, the writer, I believe Paul wrote this, he said, we have much to say about this, and it's an issue about this man named Melchizedek. I don't have time to give you the context. But it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk and not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil. The first thing he said is that, at first he said, by this time, guys, you should be grown spiritually. But you need someone to feed you milk again. You're not even ready for solid food. And we're going to talk about what when we get through the series, what a baby needs to hear in as a baby Christian, what a child, the Bible's clear about it. And isn't it amazing? He said that a sign of a maturing believer is that you're now helping and teaching others. See, in the kingdom of God, we are called to grow spiritually, and it's the parallel natural growth. See, spiritually immature people focus on themselves. Naturally immature people focus on themselves. See, the great hope we have as parents, and if this hasn't happened in your kids' lives, and for whatever reason, you know, I pray that God helps you. But ideally, it's good that when your kids get to a certain age, that they leave and pay their own bills. Amen. That's a good thing. And when they have children, they can not only take care of themselves, but now they get to take care of their kids. Mature people don't get to start many sentences with I. Because life doesn't work that way anymore. We have three kids. I can't remember a time where Michelle and I said, hey, babe, what do you want to do this week? Just us. Every conversation we start with is, who needs to go where, when, and how much? I mean, our kids are in three different directions constantly. And they have to go here, have to go here. We're parents. I'm on the way to church last night. I've got my two girls with me. Ryan was already here. And the two girls are with me. And on the way, and you know what they said? They laid hands on me and said, oh, Father, may the blessing of God be upon you as you minister the Word of God to the people. They said, Dad, after church, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do. And I think I'm going to go see a movie. I think a bunch of the girls are going to get together and see a movie. You have any money? Parenting. So last night, my one little girl goes home with baby Jesus. That's my youngest brother, the one my parents really love. And he made a bonfire for the children. And then my other daughter goes to the movies. My son stays here and plays in the band at 19 North and then goes back and does something with the young men's ministry back here. And he gets home at about 11:30 something. Sienna calls me at 11:35. I'm ready. I'm in bed. I want to sleep. I do not want to get up. I'm ready, Dad. And so I go to get her. Now, she's as sweet as the world. I mean, I picked up Daddy, thank you for coming. She's sweet as she can be. But that's your job as a parent. Now, let me parallel this spiritually. You know that song we did a little bit ago that Sean Moore did? Can I tell you that that song for most people over a certain age didn't do it for you? And can I tell you that that's happening on purpose? I want a style of ministry that a 20-year-old and a 30-year-old also love in this church. If we, as spiritually mature people, do not understand that our job is to create a place and a venue and a voice that our children and our grandchildren want to hear, we're going to end up in here alone. And to see kids in this building, you'll have to bring pictures. But you see, I understand that's maybe not some people's style. Now let me say this. You know how they put the words on the screen? They did that for people like me. Now, my son's in the room, younger people in 20s, 30s, and I know some of you that are 40 and 50, and I know 50's the new 40 and all that kind of stuff, that you're like, listen, I was a hippie, I love that stuff, shut up. But if you're past a certain age, now this, Sean did a phenomenal job, didn't he? Yeah, he did. It was phenomenal. But to my untrained ear, it sounds like this. So I said, guys, we got to put the things on the screen so people like me can go, oh, that's awesome. But the key is this. You know churches that are, if you know anything about, if you study church history in America, churches like ours have about a 20-year run and then they decline. Can I tell you why they decline? Because it started with a lot of younger people. Now they're my age and older. And everything that's done makes them happy. And they become irrelevant to the next generation. Not on purpose. But you know, what amazes me about this church, and I mean this, if you're 50 plus, 60 and 70, 80 year olds that go to this church, let me tell you something. I cannot begin to tell you as the pastor of this church how grateful I am for your heart for the next generation. If you're in this church and you're 20 or 30, even 40 something, and you see people in this building that look like your grandma or grandpa, don't tell them that because they think they look young still. You need to go up to people like that and you need to thank them. Because they could go find a place that style-wise would fit them a lot more than this church. Not that we don't do everything to try to meet all the generations, but the fact of it is this. That song, if you're probably in your 60s, just didn't do it for you. You were probably like, why the smoke? Do you really need the smoke? What's that all about, Alice? That just doesn't seem to belong in the house of God. Put the smoke away. That's of the devil. Son of the devil. Any more than go back a generation when all the hippies that are complaining about the music were using frisbees upside down. And they all know what I mean. Wearing bell bottoms and leisure suits. Listening to the Beatles. And so, you know, you all started it anyway. And even go back, those of you even older. I mean, you know, you guys in the 50s, you were growing up in the 50s and 40s. You guys started, your parents said you, that stuff was a mess you were listening to. It's funny, in the church used to be just an organ. Then they brought in a piano guitar and a drum and everyone said, it's the devil! And then the people that brought the organ and brought the piano and the guitar and the drums in, now they go, it's of the devil! Never attach anything to your preference, except it's your preference. But I want you to know, as the pastor of this church, intentionally, I want to make sure that we have a venue and a voice that speaks to every generation. But here's what I know about mature people, is that they have an understanding that they want to have a place where their children can come and their grandchildren can come. And I got to tell you that I had many parents, actually grandparents. I have more grandparents say this to me than people in their 20s and 30s. Grandparents come up to me. In fact, last night someone came up and said, Pastor John, my sons and daughters are here, my grandchildren are here, and my great-grandchildren are in this church. I love this church. Turn it up. Because, you know why? Because you want to have a place where your kids can come and get full of God and find a godly spouse. And you know what happens when you get married in this church? We take those young people and we put them with old people. The Bible says the older should teach the younger. We have marriage mentors in this church. And you know, Bernie and Mary Smith, are they in this service? Because I had a guy, if you're here and told me this story, I forget who you were. And I might mix it up a little, but that's just me. Bernie and Mary are marriage mentors here. They've been married for a while, at least 30 years, I would guess. And, you know, the Bible says the older should teach the younger. But if the older run church where there are no younger, you ain't teaching no one. But you know your kids, when they come and say, I want to get married, they just don't get a form and get married and some pastor shows up and says, Shazam, you're married. There's a whole process they go through and they're attached to a marriage mentor. And then an older couple sits with them and they tell them what for and what it is. And one guy came up to me and said, yeah, I showed up late a couple times. And Bernie, man, because Mary's as sweet as the world is long. No, I'm telling you, the devil was tempted to like Mary Smith. But Bernie, he ugly, man. He can be ugly. No, I'm teasing. He's straight. So the guy was coming late a little bit, and Bernie just jerked the slack out of him. He said, man, dude, pull me aside and said, hey, listen, I'm giving you my time so that you have a successful marriage. Get here on time. Is she worth it? Yeah. He spent time with him. He said, listen, isn't it awesome to have a place where young people want to sit at the feet of older people and learn from them? That's what the Bible calls it to be. But if the church doesn't mature enough to be willing to set aside some of their preferences to meet the needs of the next generation, we won't have anyone to talk to. And everybody in this church, that some of the things style-wise that we do that maybe just don't suit you, thank you for you being willing to be the grown-up and to be the mature person. I'm not saying 20s and 30s aren't. But let me tell you, we would be asking them to do the very thing that we're doing. But we're going to try to do all of it. But that's spiritual maturity. You take care of others. And then finally, and lastly, this, number 6. They know how to live free from strife and offense. Spiritually mature people know how to live free of strife and offense. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and he said this, however, brethren, I could not talk to you as spiritual men, but as to non-spiritual men of the flesh, in whom the carnal nature predominates, as to mere infants in this new life in Christ, unable to talk yet. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not able or not yet strong enough to be ready for it. Even yet, you're not strong enough to be ready for it. For you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh under the control of the ordinary impulses. For as long as there are envyings, jealousy, wranglings, factions among you, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourselves after a human standard like mere unchanged or unregenerate men? He's saying, guys, as long as it... Do you want to know what kills most churches? Factions. This one likes this, and this one likes this, and I like this, and I wish we could do this, and the presence of God would come if we could... And all this nonsense of factions. But can I tell you, one of the reasons, and I think one of the greatest reasons this church has thrived, is because people in this church have seen a mission and a vision bigger than their personal preference. And it is an incredible privilege to pastor a group of people that number in the thousands that you can't not find. You can go a year without getting a letter. And if you do get one, it is respectful. I haven't gotten an anonymous, hate-filled letter in years. Thousands of people. Guys, that speaks to the spiritual development of the people in this church. And I'm so grateful. Thank you for seeing and making the main thing the main thing. Thank you. Years ago, I was invited to, and I'll close with this, to go speak. Not speak, there was a church fight going on. It was a whole mess had occurred, and they actually asked me to come down, and I had to mediate it. I didn't ask this, they called me. I had spoken in this church years ago, and I went down and met with all the parties involved. And they all spoke their piece. And I thought, you know, from some of the stuff I heard, that there were some serious issues. You know, when they got done, it was all like a bunch of kids, just nonsense. So look, they asked me to come, and I didn't try to be rude or harsh, but I just said, guys, look, can I be really honest with you? This is stupid. Everybody in this room, everything you said, if everybody got their way, it's still stupid. I didn't hear one person in this room ask me about souls. I didn't hear one fight over a human being. Everything was about stupid stuff that doesn't matter. My suggestion is this. Put a bullet in this church and bury it or resurrect it. Don't let it die a slow death. If you're going to do this nonsense is what you're going to have meetings about. Just shoot it. Put it out of its misery now. Or repent all of you and forget this stupidity and go get people. Because none of you matter what you want. All this stuff's stupid. If y'all get your way, it's worthless. Not one person's life would be changed if all of y'all got your way. It's all your preferences. It's time to grow up. You're supposed to be the leaders in this church. Now either grow up or put a bullet in this thing. Either have a resurrection or a funeral. Because this is a waste of time. I thought you guys had real problems. And I don't know, you know, to be honest with you, there was some true repentance. Actually, that church is doing great today. But the fact of it is this. How many churches die because of that nonsense? Because of unspiritual, carnally driven people who have not grown spiritually. And so that same kind of infighting that can kill a church, can kill a marriage, can kill a family, can kill an employment, can kill a future. Your spiritual development matters. The next 3 weeks we're going to talk to you about how to know what the path to take, how to discern that you're growing spiritually. Because listen, you can do this. And your best days are in front of you. And let me close with something really upbeat, because I mean this sincerely. Thank you for having the kind of heart you do. Thank you for the price you paid. Thank you for being willing to burst forward into the future and not think of preference first. Thank you. It is an amazing church to pastor, and it is an amazing privilege to get to pastor a group of people like you. So thank you. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your great grace that's upon all of us. I ask you to lift people, no matter how they may have come into this place, that you would lift them. Lord, that no matter what they're facing, that you would help us all to see that there's nothing impossible with you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning service and you've never given your life to Christ, that is, you don't know if you died today where you'd spend eternity. Dear one, listen, there really is a heaven, there really is a hell. When we die, we go to one or the other. And Jesus died on a cross to pay the debt that none of us could pay. If you're here today and you're not certain that you've ever given your life to the one who gave his life for you, I want to pray for you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'll pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray that prayer out loud together with you right where you're seated. You say, Pastor, I don't know that I've given my life to Jesus. I didn't ask you if you're religious or had sacraments of a church or a member of a church. Have you ever invited Christ into your heart? If you've not done that, I want to pray for you right where you're seated. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The whole church will pray it out loud together with you. In a moment, I'll ask you to raise your hand high so I can see it with these bright lights and then put it right back down and we'll pray for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. Pray for me. I want to receive Christ. Lift your hand right now and I'll pray for you. Do it right now, then put it right back down. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you, sir. You can put your hand back down. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Every head is bowed. Thank you. God bless you. Eyes are closed. Say, Pastor, include me as well in that prayer. I've not yet raised my hand. Include me with those many others that have raised theirs. Just lift it. If you've not yet done so high so I can see it. And I'll pray for you right where you're seated. One last moment. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. If you raised your hand or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your very own ears. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior, to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. And Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give them a hand, would you?